content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Garden Smart e-newsletter, the National Garden Association e-newsletter, and the Garden Bureau website. We'll start with the Puro Garden. They're having a victory garden summer maintenance. When the pandemic hit, I decided to plant a vegetable garden. I've heard this from consultation clients and Plantorama listeners for the past 3 months, and my response is always the same. Congratulations, you made a terrific choice. I recognize that the stress of the COVID crisis can easily prompt people to eat sweets or binge watch old television series, so it's wonderful to hear that many were also motivated to do something life-affirming like planting vegetables. If growing veggies is new to you, or if you've recently returned to gardening after a few years hiatus, you may be in need of some midsummer maintenance reminders. So here are some tips that will keep your gardens productive and your dinner table loaded with the freshest, tastiest food on earth. Patty Cooksey, an ER nurse at Cape Cod Hospital, planted this vegetable garden in the spring of 2020. She says it's a pleasurable, quiet activity in a very challenging time. Patty also created the charming fence that frames it from dead branches found in the woods. I planted too much at the start of the planting season. The young vegetables are so small and our planting area seems so large. Yet once the weather warms, most plants start to explode, and that once spacious raised bed is now crowded. What should you do when your summer squash is covering the beets and the kale has overtaken the carrots? Many of your plants can be made more vertical, so start there. Stake any tall kale, broccoli, eggplants, and peppers who are leaning over and smothering the neighboring crops. If your summer squash is near the edge of a bed, let it drape over raised boxes or grow into the surrounding area. And if some of your plants are just too close together, thin them by pulling or cutting every other one to give remaining a quarter of the author's garden is fenced to keep the rabbits out. They seem to prefer the green beans, kale, and broccoli, so these are planted in the bunny bin every year. The fence around the area is used to support snap peas and cucumbers. How do I water in the summer? When you planted your vegetables, they are easily moistened with a wand on the end of a hose. Chances are you even enjoyed this ritual, but in the heat of the summer, hand watering is seldom enough. First of all, people get bored long before those plants get a good, deep soaking, and a thorough drenching ensures deeper, stronger roots. Secondly, it's human nature to aim the water at the base of the stem, ignoring the surrounding soil, which is where the roots are actively growing. If local ordinances permit watering with soaker hoses or a sprinkler, use these, watering deeply but less often. Some crops have gone by. What now? Once your peas and lettuce have gone by and the garlic heads harvested, you have opened real estate where more food can be planted. In many parts of the country, seeds for carrots, kale, arugula, lettuce, pak choi, and chard can be planted in these spots. These are all crops that will thrive even as the temperatures cool, so don't hesitate to sow something new. Crops more space. Remember that the lettuce, kale, chard, and similar leaf crops you're trimming are all edible, so bring the plants you've cut into your kitchen. Are my vegetables ready to pick? One common mistake novice vegetable growers make is not harvesting quickly. It's tempting to leave that row of lettuce heads, for example, because they look so beautiful. Yet when they come to our veggie gardens, keep in mind that constant harvesting can also mean more food for your table. Cut off the largest leaves on lettuce, chard, and kale plants and use those on your salads. Pick green beans every other day so that the plants will continue to flower and produce more. Cut broccoli heads when they look like broccoli, even though those heads might be significantly smaller than the ones you find in the supermarket. Another broccoli fun fact. Most plants will continue to produce side shoots of tiny heads all summer. Pick these before they go to flower and you'll have enough small tender broccoli for salads, omelets, and pasta dishes in the fall. Finally, once your lettuce, radishes, and other greens start to flower, it's time to pull them up and plant again. What about all these weeds? The weeds that seem insignificant in June can explode into gigantic plants in July. Even experienced vegetable growers will walk into their garden and say, "Where did that huge weed come from?" Some heat weedy loving weeds prosper close to the ground as well. So during your summer maintenance, you might be seeing crabgrass, carpet weed, and purslane in the garden. Unfortunately, there is no magic wand for this. They need to be pulled. And now from the Notion Garden Bureau. Ask an expert growing watermelon in your Victory Garden by Joe Parr. There's an art to watering that comes from observation and experience. It may sound surprising, but watering correctly is a learned skill. Many people do not fully appreciate how to water correctly and so overwater or more commonly underwater their plants. First, know how much water your specific plant needs. A general rule of thumb, excluding aquatic plants, is that plants do not like to sit in water or soggy soil. Soil mixes or garden soil typically should be well drained. Water the soil and not the leaves. Although washing off foliage on dusty, dry mornings probably will not hurt, it's better to apply water slowly and deeply, but to allow the soil surface to dry out slightly before watering. If leaves start to wilt, it's time to water. If the soil is dry, it's time to water. After watering, check the soil profile by taking a hand trowel and digging down 6 inches or so to make sure that the water has penetrated that far down. Deep, but less frequent watering encourages plants to root deeply. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of mulching. Nature abhors bare soil. She jealously protects that soil that took eons to build by quickly covering the naked ground with a defensive covering of weeds, nature's own version of a scab on a flesh wound, if you will. Labor to pull weeds and leave the soil bare and unprotected, and weeds will quickly move in to shield the soil from oxidation and erosion. The answer, mulch, several inches thick with straw or leaves or newspaper or pine bark. Mulch satisfies nature's requirement to safeguard the soil, and you will have few, if any, weeds for months. I highly recommend the cup of coffee glass of wine approach to weeding in the evening with your favorite beverage and pull weeds, pausing occasionally to take a sip and enjoy the day. Once your beverage is done, stop. The weeds will be there tomorrow and you can go out with your drink once again. Needless to say, if you live in a very hot park of the country, the early morning is the best time for weed control. Don't overdo it, and this will help make this summer maintenance so much better. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention here that my Plantrama co-host, Ellen Sakos, would say that many of the weeds in your garden are probably edible. Check out her Backyard Forager book or website for more information. Also, the use of mulch can suppress the growth of a majority of weeds, and it makes summer maintenance so much easier. It's not too late to add a couple of inches of chopped leaves, straw, hay, or other organic material to cover bare soil. So now from Garden Smart. Variegated shrubs to lighten up your landscape. Variegated foliage is a beautiful way to brighten gardens and landscapes. These five shrubs all produce beautiful flowers, but the show doesn't stop there. They also sport fabulous variegated foliage that brings season-long color to any garden. Summer flowering. In all our years of gardening, there is one thing we know for sure. Pests can find their way into our gardens. Experience has given us a few organic means of combating these pests. Here's some tips. Think flowering trees, and spring comes to mind. The blossom parade begins with ornamental plums, pears, magnolias, cherries, and carries on through red buds, crab apples, and dogwoods. Spring is a tough act to follow, but the joy of flowering trees needn't end with April showers and May flowers. Lovely Lophos adds elegance. One unusual annual you'll find at an independent garden center or online plant retailer is Lophos, L-O-F-O-S, Lophospermum, L-O-P-H-O-S-P-E-R-M-U-M. Beautiful trumpet flowers cascade from elegant foliage that resembles grape leaves. Native to Mexico, Lophospermum is also known as creeping gloxinia. Top tomato plant problems. Tomatoes are probably the most popular vegetable grown by gardeners. The majority of the problems in growing them are environmental and are generally not infectious to other crops you might have planted. Choosing the right plant is just as important as location in controlling some common issues. Here's what you need to know. Few gardeners can resist the appeal of a hydrangea in full bloom at the garden center. The gigantic flowers beckon, obscuring nearby plants in their shadows. Hydrangeas are just as showy when you bring them home to the garden. These versatile beauties perform wonders, whether planted singly or in mass, as a focal point or backdrop. Just as there are places I like to visit but will never see, and experiences I wonder about but will never have, there are plants that I admire and desire but will never grow. These are plants that require specific growing conditions, a ridiculous amount of pampering, and a climate that I don't live in. At the top of this list are delphiniums. With many of us recently inspired to grow our own vegetables, taking on varying sizes of victory gardens, there's no doubt that more of us will have more to water. However, we need to remember water wisely. Water smart. One easy way to add more beauty to your perennial garden, even if you have a small space, is to select long-blooming or re-blooming varieties. While many perennials bloom for a short period every year, improved varieties extend the show. Here are a few of our favorites. In early spring, your hummingbird feeders are busy with local hummingbirds and migrants that are passing through. Natural nectar sources are still scarce, so feeder activity can be abundant. However, by mid-spring, feeder activity can slow as migration wraps up and male hummingbirds start to defend feeders in their territory. Gardening with wave-spreading petunias is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Once you've brought your plants home, Your first order of business is to create the best environment for wave petunias to grow and flourish in your garden. Here are a few guidelines to follow. Do I really need to feed my plants? It's a question we hear often this time of year, and you might be wondering too. Find out how to maximize your plant's potential through feeding and learn which plants won't welcome those extra calories in this article. Adding a colorful coat of paint to Adirondack chairs completely transforms a backyard from meh to magical. Make the most of your summer with this easy DIY. Alan Armitage, the renowned horticulturist, once noted how people rarely revisit a plant catalog and identify what is old or classic. With all the copycat booty going on, a landscape designer must choose between 12 different black hucheras on the market. Enter the classic, tested, proven, and importantly, available plant. Many gardeners use borders to keep their gardens nice and tidy, and there are a number of products to choose from. There are wooden borders, plastic borders, and block wall borders that match walkways. All are very affordable, stylish, and should fit the style of the garden that you are designing. However, there are very few plantable borders. Mimicry succulents are masters of disguise. Altman plants. The mimicry plants known as mesims are the thespians of the succulent world. Mind-blowingly adaptable actors, often accustomed to harsh, stun-blasted habitats that receive only a few inches of rain a year. They grow in coarse sand with just their transculate tops showing, enabling sunlight to reach the interior of each plant. My summer container garden has a few annuals, but it's more a mix of perennials, shrubs, vegetables, fruits, herbs, houseplants, and small trees. Every year, a few of these plants outgrow their pots and need larger containers. Wildflowers are one of Mother Nature's loveliest gifts and a perfect addition to your victory garden, too. Their changing panorama of colors, shapes, sizes, and heights provides delight throughout the season. We asked our NGB member, American Meadows, to answer questions on growing wildflowers. We hope these answers will help you grow an amazing wildflower garden. Consistent hot and dry weather over a long period of time can lead to heat or moisture stress, which can cause your lawn to turn brown. To keep your lawn at its best and limit the hot summer damage, you should familiarize yourself with some of the basics of this issue. Top veggies for containers. If you're gardening in limited space and plan to grow only a few vegetables this year, these are the ones to choose. By planting in large containers, using good quality potting soil, watering regularly, and fertilizing monthly, you can harvest vegetables all season long. Here are 10 we recommend. I have been planting like mad. Almost every bed has been planted with so many goodies, including tomatoes, cucumbers, and vertical icebox watermelons. Next project, I'm off to solve some privacy screening issues. Even in the best of times, money concerns can cause a lot of stress. But according to a recent survey, nearly 9 in 10 Americans say that COVID-19 is making money a primary cause of anxiety. As overwhelming as it can seem, there are strategies to help you cope and stay calm. An entire shoot of just above a leaf node. This will encourage dormant buds to grow at the nodes for a bushier plant. Harvest the seeds of dill, fennel, and coriander when the flower heads have faded and started to dry. Clip the flower heads and place them in paper bags. Shake the heads to dislodge the seeds. Store seeds in an airtight container. Mojito mint. The most common ways to preserve herbs are drying and freezing. You can also make herb-based sauces. Try one or more of these methods so you can enjoy that fresh-picked flavor near year-round. Tools and materials. Paper bags, rubber bands, air-tight containers, ice cube trays, freezer bags. Drying. Many herbs can be air-dried by tying several stems together with a rubber band and hanging them in a cool, dark, dry location. Bay, marjoram, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage, and thyme are good candidates for drying. If the area is dusty, keep the herbs in paper bags during the drying process. Parsley and thyme retain more of their color if they are dried in a 150-degree oven or in a dehydrator. When leaves are brittle, pull them off the stems and store in airtight jars in a cool, dark space. Don't crumble the leaves until you use them because they will lose flavor. Dried herbs keep their flavor and color for about 3 months. Freezing. Some herbs keep their flavor best when frozen. These include basil, chives, chervil, dill, lemon balm, mints, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage, French tarragon, thyme, and lemon verbena. Wash them thoroughly and shake or pet off the excess water. Place individual leaves or chopped leaves in freezer bags. Flatten the bags to remove air. Dill, sage, rosemary, and thyme also freeze well on the stalks, which you can add frozen to cooking pots and remove before serving. You can also puree herbs with a small amount of water and freeze the paste in small, zippered freezer bags. Then break off frozen pieces as you need them. Combine herbs that are good culinary companions, such as sage and thyme, mix with a little olive oil, and seal the paste in freezer bags, or pour the mixture into ice cube trays. Once frozen, remove and store in freezer bags and thaw individual cubes as needed. An herb's flavor is most pronounced just before the plant begins to flower. You can prolong the harvest by snipping off the flower buds as whenever they appear. The essential oils are concentrated in the leaves in early morning before the sun causes them to be released into the air. Early morning is, therefore, the best time to harvest. Snip individual leaves or repeat blooming azaleas. Azaleas are familiar spring-blooming plants, but since the advent of numerous re-blooming cultivars, summer is much more colorful. Repeat blooming azaleas may be white, red, pink, purple, orange, or a combination of colors. Sizing ranges from small shrubs under 3 feet to medium sizes in the 4 to 6 foot range. Encore azaleas offer the broadest selection for partial sun or sunny areas, with 30 varieties to choose from. For shady locations, bloomathon azaleas excel as repeat bloomers with 4 color options. Azaleas work well in mass plantings or as individual accent or focal plants. Knockout rose completely changed landscaping when it arrived on the scene. This heavy rebloomer offers brilliant cherry red blooms from spring through fall on plants that achieve a height and width of 4 to 6 feet and is hardy in zones 5 to 11. In addition to original red knockout, there are several shades of pink and yellow, as well as double-flowered red and pink. Knockout roses are highly disease-resistant. and rebloom with minimal maintenance beyond pruning. Use knockout roses in all types of mass plantings for a great effect. Butterfly bush. Buddleia davidia has been widely used to attract butterflies and other pollinators for many years. The classic purple, blooming, fragrant 10-foot shrub has gradually become outpaced by other colors and improved cultivars with dwarf habits. Butterfly bushes may be found that stay under 3 feet, which work well in container plantings or as part of a perennial border. The larger types can anchor pollinator gardens, accent shrub borders, or contribute their color to naturalized areas. Butterfly bushes are hardly in zones 5 and up. Bloom colors range may be white, pink, red, purple, blue, and multi-tone.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Out in the Garden on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.